Well. Oh, okay. All right. Well, the party starts at 2, right? Okay. All right. I got a lot of time. Okay. Was that the VeggieTales? Oh, dear. Look at the time. Yeah, it'll be we won't stretch it out that long. You're excited about today's word when your opening prayer was like, it's like you knew it. It's like Holy Spirit spoke to you. I'm excited about today's word. Our walk with God, just a quick preface, our walk with God is continually evolving and being renewed. We walk with an understanding that God has given us, and that's life to us. But then God takes and shatters that paradigm and gives us a new concept, not a new concept, but just a deeper revelation and understanding. And he's done that the past 4 weeks as I've meditated on this, and as I just, this sermon has not stopped speaking to me. Sometimes, you know, I'll be preparing and I'll have to put the word together, and I'll search in the word and pray, God, give me the words to speak. This, God's been giving me the words to speak. I got too many words. I can't say all that I want to say, but I want to hit the highlights. And I'm shaking. This is, to me, a very powerful, it's transformed. I've been walking with God now since 84, so that's, what, 35 years? And this past 4 weeks has just totally given me a whole new paradigm. This is a fresh word for me, and I pray that some understanding through the Spirit would come through what he wants to say through me today, that you would gain understanding into what Holy Spirit has shared with me, and I pray that this would transform your lives even in greater ways than it's transformed mine. So let's commit it. Let's commit it to God. Let's join our hearts and pray. Father, Lord God, in Jesus' name, through the power of your Holy Spirit, release the anointing of your word today, that you would be released to bring revelation, to bring understanding into what your word says. It's nothing new. Your word, there's nothing new to add. And Lord, we do not want to take away. But Lord, the revelation as we continue to walk with you and as you give us understanding into your word, not that what we understood previous to this was wrong because it was good and there was life in it, but there's continued life, continued growth in you as we go deeper and deeper and deeper. So Lord, in the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, I release revelation, I release understanding, I release not only that, but your grace and your enabling power to strengthen us and enable us and empower us, Lord, to be your witnesses, to empower us, Lord God, to walk this calling that you've called us to walk with you, Lord God, that we would make a difference on the face of this earth. We would make a difference in the lives of those that you bring into our life, because we're givers of life as we walk with you. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I just commit this to you. And I pray that you would have your way through me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What will you? And you probably are thinking, well, what will I what? What will you? It's an interesting question. It's what Holy Spirit gave me. Before we can answer that truthfully and with any understanding of what we will, there's four things we need to understand. Those four things are the sovereignty of God, the authority that he's given man, understanding that God cannot violate his own word, and understanding God's purpose versus God's will. So point number one, 4 points before we can actually answer that question, what will you? We need to understand the sovereignty of God. This to me was the foundation of the whole thing. I read an article, and the article was, I read a lot through the past few weeks, newcreations.org called The Insidious Sovereignty of God. Have you read it? Oh my gosh. Okay, but anyway, he talks about how the church in the church, there's a misunderstanding of what the sovereignty of God is. And I've kind of lived in that in the first 34 years of my life, understanding that God is in control of everything. That is what I've been taught, that God is in control of everything. When Satan approached God and for Job, God permitted Satan to sift Job as though Satan has any power. See, the understanding that I had walked by was that God is the ultimate power. He is sovereign and he's in control. Therefore, if he's in control, then he's in control of everything that's going on. When Satan did evil, God was in control of that. When Satan did Job, what he did to Job, God was in ultimate control of that. And I've discovered that that's not really fully 100% accurate, because God is not in control of everything. Now, God is sovereign. When we think of God's sovereignty, not to get off doctrine in any way, God is sovereign. God is the ruler of all. He is over all, and his purposes will come to pass. No matter what happens in this earth, he's not surprised by it. He has seen it. He's in eternity future. He knows how he's going to get where we are today to where he's taking his church. And he is in control of that. That is his purpose. His purpose is to get us to that place, and there's nothing that is going to thwart his purpose. So when we think of God's sovereignty, it's more like God is sovereign over his dominion in a way that how everything works out on the face of the earth, which he necessarily does not have control over some of those issues. And I'll explain in a little bit what I mean by that, so you don't think I'm off doctrine in any way. He still uses those events and uses those choices that people make to bring about good. What does the word tell us? That God turns everything that the enemy means for evil for good. The enemy has a purpose, right? And that's to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God's purpose was to create for himself one new man out of the two. Read in Ephesians, one new man out of the two. And it was the mystery that was hidden through ages past that has been revealed through the apostles and the prophets, that it was God's eternal purpose to bring about a body, a people for himself, to walk in the authority that they once had, that God gave them in the garden, that they abdicated and gave over to the enemy. That was his purpose. His purpose is revealed now through the church. And his divine purpose was to put on display the authorities and the rulers and the principalities of this world, to put them on display as though they're defeated, because they are defeated. Because we sang this morning, he's won the victory. Has God won the victory? He went to the cross. He came as a man. He suffered. He paid the price. And now what? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ, right? And he now has given it to who? Who has God given his authority to? Us. And we are his authority on the face of the earth. Understanding God's sovereignty does not mean God is in control of everything, as far as the events that happen on the face of the earth. Man makes decisions, and God honors those decisions. And that's one of the points that we're going to get to, that God is not going to violate his own word. The sovereignty of God, this is something I picked up at newcreations.org. If God is in control of everything, it's a very logical conclusion. As if God were in control of everything, logically, nothing would be out of his will. Because if God is in control of everything, then how could anything that happened be outside of his will? And if everything that happens is in God's will, then we can never be outside of his will. And if we are always in the will of God, then we should always be blessed, and bad things should never happen to believers. That's a logical line of thinking, that if God were in control, then everything would be in accordance with his will. And if everything was in accordance with his will, why in the world do we see mass shootings that's happened over the past couple weeks? Why do we see decisions that are being made by people that God doesn't intervene and rescue and make right? I'm going to answer some of those questions. This misunderstanding of the sovereignty of God has kept a lot of people away from God. If God were such a loving God, then why did he let, you know, my loved one get cancer and die? Why did God do that? And if God was so loving, why did he allow my loved one to die in an accident because there was a drunk driver on the road? Why did God let that happen? You know, was God in control of that situation? No. Could he have stopped it? Yes, but there's a reason why he doesn't stop it. Now, we've introduced sin into this world because of our rebellion, because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve that's been transferred down to us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose. God's purpose, he has come to do what? To bring life and to give us life more abundantly. Amen? Everything God does is to bring life. Everything Christ does and Holy Spirit does is to bring life. Everything the enemy does is to bring death. In the garden, back in Genesis 1:28, God made man, male and female, he made them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the face of the ground. When God created man, God gave dominion to man over the earth. Man had the authority to rule the earth. All the animals, to subdue it, to prosper it, everything that man was going to do was in man's power to do it. That was God's word. He spoke it out, and it's meant to be. If God were to intervene in Adam's and Eve's, in their decision to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and force them not to, then he would have violated his own word by giving them, he gave them free will, he gave them a free choice. He said, eat from any tree you want in the garden, but don't eat from this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat of it is the day that you will die. He gave them a choice. He gave them a choice of their own will. Question is, what will you? What will I? He gave them a choice of will. If their will, which it turned out to be, was to rebel against God, and God stepped in and didn't allow them to choose their will, then he wouldn't be God at all, because he would be violating his own word. His own word was, you man have authority. You man have dominion. Now walk in that authority, walk in that dominion that I gave you, and the choices that you make as they align with my will and my desire, I will bless, I will multiply, and you will have me with you and my abundance with you. Man chose otherwise. When he chose to sin and rebel against God, he abdicated his authority. When he chose to surrender and submit to the will of the enemy, as opposed to surrendering and submitting to the will of God, he abdicated his authority to the enemy. And the enemy now has stolen that authority. At that time, he has stolen that authority, and he now was the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's written in Scripture. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, the devil came and put him on the highest pinnacle. Some say it was a mountain, some say it was the temple. But he said, if you bow down and worship me, I have authority that's been given to me. And if you worship me, I will give it to you. And Jesus didn't say, you don't have any authority. What are you talking about? He didn't rebuke that. He said, no, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only. You shall make the choice that your will would align with God's will. So the authority that man had was turned over to the enemy. And the enemy now has been wreaking havoc in the earth for millennia. We've seen it. We got to Noah. They had to destroy, God destroyed the earth and reestablished it. And we have all the history through the Bible of wars, famine, all kinds of things that are going on, all the way up to the history of today, when we have people making a choice of what they will, and some of their choices turn out to impact multiple lives when they will not submit their will to God. They will not love others. They will not surrender to authority. and they take up a firearm or a weapon or even knives, or they drive vans into crowds of people, or they strap themselves with bombs and they go into crowds of people and they kill them. Did God ordain that to happen? No. God gave man authority. Man turned it over to Satan, and now Satan's goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. Another definition that I saw as I was reading for the sovereignty of God, this was pretty cool. This was really good. Where did I write that? Oh, it's down here. Give me a second. Got it right here. The sovereignty of God is God's sway over situations. And that sway is his influence and his will. And if we align ourselves with his will, to do his will, we are swayed towards God. We receive the blessing and the consequences from that decision. If we are swayed by the enemy and enticed by the enemy, and we make decisions aligning our hearts with the enemy in rebellion to God, then we're swayed that way, and we suffer the consequences from that decision. God stands back. If he were to intervene, like I said, he can't go back on his word. We're going to look at a few scriptures that say that. If God were to intervene, he wouldn't be God. God has given man the choice of life or death. First John 5:19 says, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." So the evil one has power. The evil one has authority. The only power and the only authority that he's been given started all the way back in the garden when we gave him the authority that God gave us. And it's been the same for the past 6,000 years. The only power the enemy has is the power that we surrender to him. If we don't submit to God and we submit to him, we're under his control, we're under his sway. Romans goes on to tell us, you know, don't live according to the flesh, to the desires of the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. We're given exhortation after exhortation to choose the ways of God versus the ways of the world. Do not conform to the patterns of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Then we can test and approve and see what God's perfect will is. Okay? We have the choice. The choice is ours. The authority has been given to man. The enemy took it. Jesus Christ came to restore that authority. He took the keys of sin, hell, and death. When he resurrected from the grave, he resurrected with a total victory over death, over hell, over the enemy, over the influence that the enemy has, the authority that God has given to man back in the garden, which the enemy stole, is now broken. That power is broken. The power of sin is broken. The power of swaying, having your will sway to do sin, you now have the power to say no to that with the influence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And now you have the choice to align your will with God. In the past, when you didn't know the Lord, you really had no choice. You were a slave to the sin that you lived in. And you keep wondering, why do I keep doing the things that I'm doing that are not of God? We don't have any choice when you're not a Christian. They are of the Spirit. The decision to live in accordance with the Spirit gives you the empowerment to say no to ungodliness. The grace that God gives us empowers and enables us to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to God. But the choice is ours. Guys, the choice is ours. There's multiple powers at work in the world today. We have the power and the authority of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:24, Paul said, "Then comes the end, when he, Jesus, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after what? After destroying every rule, every authority, and every power." Then the end will come. That's happening in the end. So if there is rule and authority and power, Ephesians tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and evil forces in the heavenly realms, there is the enemy's power that is at work, but that power is limited, and it's only limited to what we give to him. God hasn't given Satan any authority. God gave the authority to man. Man gave it to Satan. And the more we give him, the more power he releases in the face of this earth, the more havoc, the more death, the more destruction we see, the more selfishness, the more motives that are bent on selfishness for power, for money, we see it. We see it daily. And we wonder, Lord, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? Just about everything, every prophecy that has been fulfilled, every prophecy that's been spoken to happen before the Lord's return has been fulfilled. You know, the gospel needs to go out into all the earth, and I have a personal conviction that the gospel will go out into all the earth during the tribulation when the second angel flies over the entire earth saying submit and surrender to God. There's not going to be any boundary that's going to stop those angels from speaking to every nation and every tribe at that time. You know, but there's the 1040 window that we're still trying to reach. Other than that, I heard a preacher say, I'm no longer looking for the signs of the times. I'm just listening for the trumpet. Because we're in a wicked, bad, nasty world. It's amazing. There is authority that Satan has, but God's authority is also in the earth. Ephesians 1:11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works out all things according to the counsel of his will. God's purpose, according to the counsel of his will, works everything out in accordance to the purpose of will. He takes everything that the enemy means for evil and turns it to good. It works out to the counsel of his will to bring about his plan, to bring about his purpose. Nothing stopped God from coming to earth as a baby, from living a sinless life, dying on the cross, shedding his blood, being buried, being resurrected, and ascending into heaven. Nothing stopped that from happening. Although there were many efforts of the decisions of man's will to try and stop it. You had King Herod killing the babies. You had Pharaoh killing the babies. You had Satan throughout the ages doing what he could to annihilate the Jews and the Hebrew nations so that the promised seed in Genesis would not come forth. But God took those situations and worked them out for his good. Joseph went down to Egypt because his brothers decided it was their will that they didn't want him around anymore and they wanted him dead. Joseph ended up in Egypt. God took that and turned that around for his glory because 400 years later, Moses shows up on the scene and deliverance from God is powerful. It is mighty. And we see the power of God, which has been a testimony of his power and his love and his commitment to those who are called by his name. Amen? He takes everything the enemy means for evil and turns it to good. It works in accordance with the counsel, in according to the counsel of his will. Man has authority. Matthew 16:19, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? That's the one, yes. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, you're right. And on this rock, I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The authority that Christ has given his church to walk in that authority, which was once theirs, which was once the relationship that man had established. God established his relationship with Adam and Eve to reveal his glory and show his power. That got broken. So then God generated new covenants, different covenants throughout the generations. He established a covenant, a relationship with mankind. And if man took that covenant serious and lived according to it, God revealed who he was and showed his power through that group of people who were God's people. Until we get to the new covenant when Jesus shows up on the scene and he destroys every authority and every power in heaven by his death and his resurrection on the cross. And now the authority in all of heaven and in all of earth has been given to Christ, and he has now given that to us, his church. He's given that to every person if they choose to walk in it. The choice, once again, is ours. The question, what will you? We also have to understand that God won't violate his word. I made mention of this. God is holy, which means he's free from defilement, and God is righteous, which means his ethical conduct is that which displays his holiness. His righteousness, his conduct, will not allow him to violate his holiness. And if God speaks something, it's settled, it's set. Psalm 89:34, I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Hebrews 6:18, for what? It is impossible for God to lie. God gave man authority to make decisions to align man's will with God's will. Man decided not to. We're suffering the consequences of that decision today, but now it's our turn to choose what our will is. So what will you? Is it your will to agree with God, or is it your will to not agree with God? If you don't agree with God, Satan doesn't agree with God. Guess which camp you're lining yourself up in? His word is settled. He cannot lie, and he will not go contrary to his word. God is sovereign, and his sovereignty cannot override his righteousness and his holiness. His holiness will not allow him to override his commands. So if God set that in place, if he gave man the authority to make these decisions, he's not going to intervene in man's authority and change man's decision like a robot. Man's going to make a decision. Consequences are going to happen because of it. And unfortunately, some decisions are made today that hurt a lot of people. And then we sit back and say, I don't understand how God could do this. God's not doing it. God is stepping back, and he's allowing man to come to the realization that he's the one who has the power to stop it. We are the only ones who have the power to stop the craziness in this world. As you said, Pastor Tom, the answer to all the woes of the world is to make disciples. Just think about these young men who went on a shooting spree at the Walmart and then down at that bar in San Antonio. And any other crazy thing that happens in this world, people who strap bombs on themselves. Those are decisions that they're making, but if they were disciples of Christ, they would surrender their will to God. And what is God's will? That we love one another, that we prefer one another, that we pray for one another, that we pray for our enemy, that you don't live according to the flesh, you live according to the Spirit, that you show hospitality and kindness, that you don't offer your bodies as instruments of wickedness to slaves to sin, but you offer the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness, slaves to God. And if everybody would align their will with God's will and become a disciple, there wouldn't be people strapping bombs on themselves or picking up guns and shooting people up who disagree with their opinion. And you've all heard about the movie that finally has been banned. I don't know if you have or not. It's called Hunted. Did you read about that? It's a group of liberals who go out on a holiday and pinpoint deplorables to hunt them and kill them. Hollywood made the movie, and it was ready to come out like September 27th. But there's been an uproar relative to that movie because here Hollywood is displaying a liberal mindset against a conservative mindset, a mindset that is secular humanism, that man is in control and we can do what we want, versus a mindset that says, no, we are God's instruments and we need to live according to his will. Everyone that was a conservative back in 2016, the Democratic forerunner for the presidency of the United States, called us all deplorables. And here now we have a movie of people with a liberal mindset going out and hunting and killing and shooting up and exterminating deplorables. Somebody decided to make that movie. And then they point the fingers at other people, whether it be politicians or whether it be the church, and say, you're the problem with this world. You're the problem. There's such violence, when they promote it themselves and don't take responsibility for it. Scary. It's scary. I just read, I think yesterday or the day before, that they decided they're not going to release the movie. Yeah, they pulled it. Yeah. Now, we need to have an understanding also, all right? We've spoken about God's sovereignty. His sovereignty is that he's the ruler over all, and his purposes will prevail, but he's not in control of every situation. We understand, and we've spoken about God giving man authority, and now man walking in that authority, having the responsibility to walk in that authority. We've also talked just now about how God can't violate his own word. Now, there's an understanding that we need to have about God's purpose versus God's will. I'm going to bring the next one up, Jen, for me. God's purpose is a Greek word in the New Testament, and that Greek word is number 4286 in the Strong's. It's prothesis. That word means to set forth predetermination, setting forth in advance for a specific purpose. Ephesians 3:1 through 12, we just touched on some of it. According to God's eternal purpose. His eternal purpose was to make known the plan that he had before time began, which he kept hidden through the ages and now has revealed through his apostles and through his prophets. And that plan was to make known his power and his will through the church, to be manifest through the church, to where the two become one. The people of God prior to Christ coming up, those who were of the Hebrew race and those who were aliens who were brought in, defined as the people of God, now Christ came to reconcile the two and make them one new man, and therefore now display his glory, reveal who he is through the church, through us. That's purpose. It's different from God's will. The will of God, the word for the will of God, is Strong's number 2307. Next slide, please. Thelema. And that means desire or wish. God's best offer to people, which can be accepted or rejected. Focusing on the result hoped for. God's will is not his purpose. His purpose is his plan for the ages. What he has purposed is going to come to pass. His will is his desire and his wish for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in every circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's wish for you. This is God's desire for you, to pray continually, to rejoice always, to give thanks in every circumstance. Ephesians 5. And I had that messed up. I know it's Ephesians 5. Is it 1 through 20? It tells us the days are evil. Therefore, understand what the Lord's will is. Oh, yeah. Okay, it's chapter 5, verse 1. Through chapter 6, verse 20. You really want to know what the Lord's will is? Go ahead and read those two chapters, all the way to verse 20 of chapter 6. That's your homework, okay? Ephesians 5, the beginning of 5, all the way through just about to the end of chapter 6. You want to know what the Lord's will is? Understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which is debauchery, right? Don't party in corrals like you used to. But be filled with the Spirit. Sing psalms, hymns, and pure spiritual songs to one another, giving thanks to God in your heart, right? Wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Employees, honor your employers. Employers, don't take advantage of your employees. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers at all times, putting on the armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? That's God's will. Everything there is God's will. It's his wish, his desire for the church. It's his wish, his desire, his will for our lives. His purpose was to save you and bring you into the kingdom. It's his desire and wish now for you to align your desire and your wish with his, and to walk in the authority that he's given you, and to walk in the power that he's given you, because the church is the answer to the ills of the world. If the church is to prevail, if the church were to prevail, and everyone aligned themselves with the will of God, as you said, everyone becomes disciples, and then it's utopia. When I first got saved, I couldn't believe what God did for me, delivering me from my sin. And I'm like, I'm going to church. And now I'm in a family where everybody loves one another and forgives one another and supports one another and encourages one another. Nobody's ever going to betray me again or stab me in the back or say mean things about me. And then I started running into people in the church. Yeah, the church is full of not perfect people. But you know what? God's perfecting the church. Jesus died for the church. The church is his instrument that he's going to use and bring into glory. The church is his bride. He died for his bride, and he's going to marry his bride. And if you're part of the church, that's you. And if you're outside of the church because you have a problem with the church, well, guess what? God's coming back for the church. Not this building. Us, his people. The word for plan, one of the words for plan here, did I do that one? Yeah, that one. There's 20 words for plan in the Greek. 10 mean it's God's plan to, it means he's resolute in his plan. It's been established. It's immutable, all relating to what his purpose is. 8 words mean to be carried out alongside with, pertaining to his will. And that's one of these words. And how do you pronounce it? Let's see. Sumbaino. Sumbaino. It's sumbaino. Which is a walking together, moving side by side as one closely integrated unit as you submit your will, your wishes, your desires to God's wishes, God's desires. And not only does this mean just a coming alongside of the events together that happen in the world to bring about his eternal purpose, it means coming alongside believers, within believers, to bring about his purpose for the world, which is the return of Christ, the 1,000-year millennial reign, and eventually the New Jerusalem. After the 1,000-year millennial reign, to get us to heaven. He's the one who's going to get us there, but doggone it, we got to agree with it. You know, we sang the song this morning, and they did this song at camp, and we're sitting there, which was the first song we did tonight. You know, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, our God is a lamb. Who can stop our Lord Almighty? And at the end, Luke was like, and who can stop the Lord Almighty? I was like, no one! And the Holy Spirit said to me, you can. You can. You can say no. And you know what? God will honor that because he's chosen to give you a will to choose him or to not choose him. And if you don't choose him, he's going to allow you to walk in the consequences of that decision. And you can't blame him for it. What's it say in Proverbs? In his heart a man plans his way, but his heart rages against the Lord. We plan our way, we do what we want, and then when we find ourselves in jail or in a hospital because of some stupid decision we made, it's like, God, why did you let this happen? And he's like, Pastor Charles called it stupid suffering. There's redemptive suffering, and then there's stupid suffering. The stupid suffering are the things we've done to ourselves, but yet our heart rages against God. It's our choice. Which brings us back to our question. What will you? You have a will. And bring the question up, Jen. Oh, no, wait a second. Okay, yeah, what will you? Next slide. Will you align, will I, will we align our will to God's will, be his agent to realize his will on the face of the earth? What was in the Father, the prayer that Jesus told us to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God can like show up and make his will happen, but he's chosen not to do that. He's chosen the church to do that. He's chosen us to do that. So are we going to align our will with God's will? To realize his will on the face of the earth? Or are we going to allow our will, or is it align our will to ourself will and be an agent of the Satan? Well, that shouldn't have been in there. Of Satan in rebellion to God. Satan rebelled against God. He's in rebellion to God. And your rebellion to God aligns with that. My rebellion to God aligns with that. I'm 35 years in the Lord, and I'm still wrestling with things that I say no to God to. Because I have, like, my own will. We hear it today in the world. It's my body. It's my body. I can do with it as I want. No. It's not your body. God gave you that body. You're to be a steward over it, to tend to it, to take care of it. We have a very good friend who yesterday had a gender-revealing party for their baby, and it's going to be a girl. And he came to me, he said, you're the father of four girls. You got any advice? And my first advice was comical a little bit. I said, yeah, have a chair ready for you in the delivery room because you may like get a little queasy and have to sit down. And yeah, it's quite an experience watching children be born. Any father that's been through that can attest. It's like, you know, every woman's been through that. It's just amazing. But then I got serious, and I said, you know what? Here's the best advice I can give you. She's not yours. She's God's. God has chosen to give her life. He's chosen you to steward that life, to mold that life, to shape that life, to speak into that life, so that the life would bring honor and glory to God. You have to answer for that life that God has given you. She's not yours. Just keep that in mind with every breath and every step you take and every decision that you have to make with her. Now, we are not our own. We have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. He paid a high price. And everything that we have has been given to us by him. We breathe his air. We live on his dirt. We rotate around the sun. That's his sun. And he maintains it so it doesn't fall off axis or go falling through the universe or get hit into, which sometimes some scientists think is, you know, asteroids are going to slam into us sometime soon. Last one came really close. It was like, I don't even know how far away it was. I'm not even going to render to guess. But anyway, what will you? The choice is ours. We alone bear the consequences of our choice. Who has the sway, sovereign control over your life? Do you? Do you? Or does God? We either align ourselves with God's will or we align ourselves with our self-will. Our self-will is to do whatever we want in rebellion to God's will. We have the choice, church. It's up to, we have the choice. Why is our life the way that it is? Why is our relationship with God the way that it is? Why is it lacking in prayer? Why is it lacking in reading? Why is it lacking in everything else that I know it should be good in? We have the choice. We have the choice. God's not going to come down and make it happen. He made a way to make it happen. He made a way for us to enter into relationship with him. He made a way for him to empower us with his Holy Spirit that we would be empowered to be his witnesses. He made a way to pour his grace into us to enable us to say no to ungodliness and yes to his righteousness. He made a way. He made the way. He paid the price. The door is open. The choice is ours. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And then he even encouraged us for which one to choose, as though it would be difficult. Choose life. I mean, I find that entertaining. I put before you life and death. I put before you what? Blessings and curses and life and death. And in case you didn't figure it out, choose life. In case you can't understand this one, I'm giving you the answer. I find that entertaining that God actually has to give us the answer to that one. Isaiah 30:18. Yet the Lord longs. He longs to be gracious to you. He longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. Surrendering, waiting, hearing, listening in relationship. Psalm 64 and 5. You have set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. Well, that means if you don't fear God, that banner's not for you. He set up a banner for those that fear God, that we might flee to it and escape the bow. Amen? That your beloved ones may be delivered. John 1:12-13. But to all who did receive him. We hear in the news today, oh, we're all children of God. We're all his children. He's not going to send anybody to hell. He loves us all. We're all his children. No, the Bible's very clear. We're all created in his image. We're all created to be made and brought to a place where we reflect his glory. But we are not all his children. Very clear, we're not all his children. But to all who did receive him, Christ Jesus, and who believes in his name, he gave them the right to be called children of God. They're God's children. We're God's children. We are the ones that receive the inheritance. We are the ones that receive the promises. We are the ones that have a banner that we can run to and be safe in. We have a refuge that we can run into because we choose to align our choices, our will, our desires with God's. Amen? Let's stand. The question is, what will you? What will you? Every day we have choices, hundreds, thousands of choices that we make. And we have a choice to surrender and align with God. We have a choice to not. We're the only ones that can make that choice. God's not going to come down and make that choice for you. If you're young, and even if we're old and your parents are still with you, your parents aren't going to make that choice for you. Your brother and your sister is not going to make that choice for you. We have to make that choice. We all carry the responsibility to make that choice. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that our will would align with your will, that we would truly comprehend your sovereignty over all. Your plan over all will not be thwarted. You will return. You will set up your kingdom on this earth. You will bring down the new Jerusalem. But Lord, we choose to align our hearts with yours. We thank you for the work that you did on Calvary, defeating the work of the enemy, destroying the work of the enemy, rendering him totally powerless, totally ineffective, making a public display of him because of your victory on the cross. And we thank you that you have given the authority back to us to bring your kingdom on this earth, that your will would be done on this earth as it is in heaven. As we align ourselves with your will and we encourage those around us to align themselves with your will, the things that are happening in this world is because we as man will it to be. But yet you even take those decisions and turn them for your glory. God, you are so awesome, and you are so wise and so far above us. We can't even begin to comprehend and understand how you've put all this together and how your purpose weaved all of this stuff that man decides to do, which is not in accordance with your will. You weave it into the purpose of what your will is to bring about the kingdom of Christ on this earth. Lord, you're so amazing. You confound me. You amaze me. And Lord, we just take this moment to open up our hearts, invite you to have your way with us in greater ways, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and fill us, empower us, enable us, and strengthen us. Reveal to us all that you have for us. We surrender our hearts, Lord. We surrender our hearts afresh, anew, once again. As Luke said during worship, you cannot be ever too far away while you still have breath in your lungs. You can never be too far off away. God longs to redeem and restore his relationship with you and empower you that he would work in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Lord, work within us to will and to do according to your good pleasure as we continue to surrender to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go be blessed. Oh, wait a second. I want to pronounce the blessing. I've got to pronounce the blessing. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you, and the Lord grant you his peace. God bless you as you go. Remember, no fellowship today. We're going to be at the church picnic. Hope everybody can make it out. Anybody needs prayer, the altar is open. We got pastors and elders up here for anyone who wants to pray, who needs anything. Come on down. Let's get prayed for. Hallelujah.